This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In Tibet, there is a vast high plateau so remote that artifacts and stone ruins from more than 1,000 years ago lie scattered openly and untouched. Nomads still wander there, but it's difficult terrain and not many outsiders reach the area. One person has, though. For 20 years, the explorer and cultural historian John Baletza has been making discoveries there. Day to Day's Alex Chadwick spoke with Baletza for our series of Radio Expeditions interviews.
Over the last 10 years, I have been conducting a survey of archaeological sites in Upper Tibet, and that's the highest part of the Tibetan Plateau, averaging an elevation of about 15,000 feet above sea level. And it's a vast area, the size of California and Texas combined. And I'm particularly interested in the pre-Buddhist period, the time before Buddhism took root in Tibet. So this goes back 1,500 or more years, and there are many sites in Upper Tibet belonging to this early time, this pre-Buddhist period. And they were largely forgotten during the Buddhist period as culture and values changed. And I've been looking at these sites, trying to visit as many as I could and photograph them, measure them, and collect stories related to the sites, myths and legends that the local people, the local nomads, the Drokpa, have preserved over the centuries.
So what are some of the discoveries that you've made?
I mean, first comes to mind is Yulkumbu, which is a very large necropolis or ritual burial site with a gigantic temple tomb over 120 feet in length, and there are six of these complexes containing also 10,000, originally 10,000 standing pillars, and there are still 6,000 pillars standing, and you find various funerary pillar sites throughout Eurasia, from Eastern Europe all the way across to Mongolia. But it seems as though Yulkumbu is indeed the largest of this type of burial complex.
Do you just kind of come upon these things? The people who still live there just regard this as part of the landscape?
Yes, and in some cases only a small handful of people know of these sites. One of the most fascinating elements of the research, I think, is that many of these sites, these places where the monuments are located, have been abandoned over many centuries. No one lives there anymore. And it's kind of like entering a time warp, leaving the modern world behind and entering a world that's no longer populated, but its monuments remain. Its stones are there for us to see and to measure and try to understand the kind of culture that gave rise to them.
How do your discoveries change or affect our understanding of the history in that region?
Well, we're starting to understand for the first time that Upper Tibet, regions as high as 18,000 feet in elevation, actually supported not only nomads, but a sophisticated sedentary civilization in earlier times when the climate was more amenable. This early civilization, this pre-Buddhist civilization in Upper Tibet, existed when there was more rain and the temperature was warmer. Slowly over the last several thousand years, the temperature has diminished and rainfall has decreased. And because the region was so marginal to begin with, it didn't take much to put this civilization over the edge, and it came tumbling down. And now only its monuments are left. The nomads have maintain some of the cultural traditions, but none of their old glories have survived with them.
But these nomads, these herders who are there today, they are the descendants of the people who, you've written, established the highest altitude human community that's ever existed.
Clearly they are, because we can trace their myths and songs in the literature, and some of this literature goes back as far as the 8th and 9th centuries. They have maintained in their oral traditions for at least 1,000 years and probably much longer the basic framework of this ancient civilization. It's been overlain by Buddhism, and it has been transformed by Buddhism, but still it's the underpinnings of this early culture have come down to us to the modern day. And that's quite remarkable in this day and age, in the 21st century, that there still are legacies that can be traced to deepest antiquity.
Isn't this pretty difficult terrain to be traveling in, both in terms of the physical obstacles you encounter, but also politically. It's hard to get permission. You have to get permission from the Chinese, don't you, to go exploring there?
Yes, I began informally, you might say, and little by little I've now gained a positive reputation, and the Chinese have been allowing me to do some of my research in the last few years, but particularly the first 15 years were very difficult in gaining access. But I didn't let the bureaucratic and physical obstacles stand in my way, just because I thought there was something that needed to be done. And you know, when you're determined about something, when you get an idea and you have a goal and you think it's something that's useful, you must try. You must try to actualize it.
What about the future of Buddhist archaeology?
Both pre-Buddhist and Buddhist archaeology have a vast potential. We've only literally begun to scratch the surface. Hopefully in the next few years, systematic excavations will begin with international collaboration, and we'll really begin to understand the extent and depth of civilization in the highest reaches of our planet.
John Baletza is a visiting scholar with the East Asia Center at the University of Virginia. He was speaking with Day-to-Day's Alex Chadwick for our series, Radio Expeditions Interviews.